Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores. You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Hello and welcome to the Foot Health Show here on UK Health Radio, your global, real, feel-good radio station. My name is Peter Alton of Circle Podiatry, and it's my aim to raise your awareness of just how important your feet are, to give you the solutions to your foot and leg problems, and to teach you how to prevent future problems. So grab a cuppa, relax, sit back and put your feet up, and enjoy learning about the one part of your body that often gets forgotten. That's right, it's your feet. Hello and welcome to the Foot Health Show again this week. Thank you for joining me. You're listening to UK Health Radio. My name is Peter Alton, your host for the day. And I hope if it's your first time, you're going to find it a very useful and informative and enjoyable experience listening to us here. If it's not a topic that is particularly relevant to you, then listen on because it may be relevant to one of your friends or family. But also have a look at our back catalogue as well, all of which are accessible on UK Health Radio's site or by following this link, which is www.bit.ly/foothealthradio. And you can find all of those shows there with a brief description about what is on that show, what topics we're talking about for your convenience. It doesn't tell you what music we're playing, but that's a surprise for you. When you go to that site, you'll find that there are the top six, as in the most recent six, not the most popular, the most recent six. And then you have to scroll down and it gives you, I think, six at a time. So going backwards. And hopefully you'll find some topics there which are of use. We are going to be indexing them to make it a bit easier for you to find the topic that you want in the future. This week, I want to kick off with, it was actually a bit of news probably a few years ago now. I know I did it on a show before as a bit of an intro. And it was it got us talking a little bit about some hip problems. And this particular incident was in the news then regarding the police having actually alerted drivers and their passengers to not doing a particular thing when they're driving. And they issued some x-rays of the damage done, particularly to the hips, but elsewhere as well in the lower limbs, as a result of doing what we're going to share. And I don't know, have any of you ever sat in your car? And I can see some of you thinking, what, who on earth would do that? Sat in your car with your feet up on the dashboard. I've done it, even with my long legs, I've done it, but not whilst driving or not whilst being a passenger, just whilst seated as a passenger, stationary, I hasten to add. But anyway, this particular person, and there's a couple of other ones mentioned in the articles as well, this particular person had their feet up on the dashboard at the point of impact when they had a crash. And a couple of things can happen there. Of course, you get jolted forward, so that's not going to be good. And bits of your body will come jolting backwards, but particularly with the airbag. And according to a fireman in the article, he says that airbags deploy between 100 and 220 miles per hour. And I never realized it was that fast. I knew it was fast. But anyway, if you're going to ride with your feet on the dashboard and you're involved in a crash, then the obvious thing is the airbag is going to go off and your feet, your knees are going to get flung backwards at that sort of speed. And anyway, the photos of these x-rays showed that the force of this lady's legs being flung back had actually shattered one of her hips and dislocated the other. And it was pretty shocking pictures there to see of those x-rays, knowing what they should be like and seeing what they're like. The other things that happened were that knees got, with other people, this is, knees got pushed back and smashed the eye socket, smashed the nose. Somebody's foot went back and hit their nose. And one lady, there's a picture actually of her with no forehead, literally her forehead, the bone had to be removed. She had a bleed to the brain. And then she had 2 years without a forehead, and then they had to put a ceramic one in. So the point I'm making here is, hey, don't do what those people did and sit with your feet on the dashboard if you are moving, if you are a passenger. And obviously not if you're a driver. As well. So if you're driving and passengers doing that, get them to stop. Stop the car and get them to stop. Some of you are probably thinking, I wish I could put my feet on the dashboard. But anyway, that's another story altogether. And the reason that I thought I'd share this is not just because of that lesson, but also because of the lesson that your feet do have an impact higher up, just normally anyway, as you walk around. So how your feet work will determine, to a degree, how your hips are later in life, how your knees are later in life, and certainly how your feet are later in life. So I've talked before on this show about the way that your foot works, and every step you take, your heel hits the ground, and at that point, the foot should roll. It should pronate, which means that the arch collapses a bit. Not too much, but just enough. Sometimes, and all too often actually, it does collapse a bit too much. That collapse is there so that the foot can create a shock absorbing system up the leg so it doesn't damage the knees and higher up. The foot then should stay in that pronated position just long enough for the foot to hit the ground fully, for the forefoot to come down, and for the foot to then adapt to whatever it reaches underneath. So we're not really designed to walk around the way we do on flat, hard surfaces in shoes. If we were out in the wilds, we would have feet that would be landing on uneven surfaces and they need to adapt. So that's why it needs to stay in that collapsed position for a little while, because a collapsed arch is not very stable, so it can adapt to whatever it touches. Then what should happen is that the foot should form a good, strong arch ready to push off on. Now, you can do this in front of a mirror if you want. I'd encourage you to do it just to see the relationship between your feet and your knees. Unfortunately, you won't be able to see what happens at the hip joint, but you can take my word for it, and you can maybe look online as well and see some videos of it. But what happens is, as your foot rolls down, so do it, stand in front of the mirror right now and roll your foot out onto the outside edge and then roll it back down, collapsing that arch. So raising the arch and collapsing the arch. And have a look at what is happening to your knee. Okay? And you'll see your knee rotating inwards as the foot collapses and outwards as the foot raises into an arch. And that happens every single step you take, which is quite amazing that your foot and that your knee can withstand it. And that, I suppose, is the point, because quite often it doesn't withstand it for long enough. And people get problems with their feet. They get problems with bunions forming, with toes clawing. They get problems with the arch dropping. You hear of fallen arches. So the ligaments give way and the arch drops totally, which then, of course, means that the knee is displaced as well. But what you don't actually see in the mirror when you're doing that is that your pelvis also anteriorly rotates. So as your foot collapses, the knee rotates inwards, the pelvis rotates forwards. And then as the foot raises its arch again, the knee rotates outwards and the pelvis rotates back a little bit. And those things are happening every step you take. So you can imagine common sense logic suggests that if your foot is misbehaving, your knee will be misbehaving and your hip will be misbehaving, and potentially all the way up the body can have knock-on effects. So the point is here, how certain are you that your foot is behaving properly and that it's not going to cause you a knock-on effect later on? Okay, for that lady in the car, the extreme effect of her foot being on the dashboard was that, yes, she ended up with a mashed up hip, well, both mashed up hip joints and pelvis. For you, it may be a more gradual, a slower thing, but it can lead to all sorts of muscular problems. It can lead to all sorts of bony wear and tear, more on one side than the other sometimes. In fact, more often than not, more on one side. If you think about it, if you've got family members, if you've got older people in your family, usually they end up with one side playing up more than the other. And that can be because one foot is behaving differently to the other. And that might be something as simple as a leg length difference, or it might be the actual structure of the bones of the foot and leg. And we as podiatrists, what we would be doing is that we would be looking to see the way that you walk. And that's one part of our assessment, is to do gait analysis. And we video what happens as you walk. We have a look at that. We also have, I have anyway, in my practice, a little gadget which sits on your lower back, and it tells us the symmetry of the two sides. And really interestingly, it tells us what is happening at the pelvis in three dimensions. It tells us how much tilt is going on. It tells us how up and down they move. And it tells us how much they rotate inwards and outwards. And that's really useful for us to see at the point of assessment, but it's extremely useful later on when we've given you either exercises to do or when we've given you orthotic insoles. It's very useful for us to be able to see the effects of those insoles. In the days gone by, I used to just assume that people were okay if they felt better with the insoles. And obviously that is important. But now we can use this gadget to actually assess the effectiveness of the insoles, not just on your feet and what is actually happening and what you're feeling, but actually to look at what is happening at the pelvis. So we can have a look at, we get people to walk with the insoles in their shoes and then without them in the shoes, and do a comparison of how the hips are moving, how much tilt is going on, how much rotation is going on, and how much obliqueness is going on, so up and down. So those are really, really important things that we can assess for you, because you only get one pair of feet for your lifetime. You're going to walk about 5,000 miles around in your time, which is about five times around the world. That's a lot of walking. That's a lot of wear and tear. And the likelihood is that if things aren't working properly, that you will pay the price later on. So invest a little bit of time, a little bit of money into your foot health now, and you should be able to keep on a strong footing for much longer throughout your life. Some of you are probably thinking, you know what, I don't know about this stuff. You know, I'm okay. I'm all right. I haven't got any pain yet. We don't really hear about this. I've never heard of it before. I'm skeptical. There's all those sort of thoughts that are going to come to your mind. I hear it all the time in practice, and when we've gone out to do sort of outreach in different community settings, in schools or in gyms, we go out there, we talk to people, and a lot of the time you do hear that, you know what, no, I'm okay. I'm all right. I've got no problems. But they are the sort of people that probably are going to have problems, and we're going to see later on. Now, you probably want to know who should you see about this if you are remotely interested in it at all. And you'd be forgiven to be a bit confused as to who to see. There are many professions that try to help with some of these things. But remember that podiatrists are the only people who are fully qualified foot specialists. And we work from the foot up to the hip looking at what is going on. We particularly would treat from the foot to the knee, but we always would look to the hip as well, because the knock-on effects of the feet really can go up all the way. So you want to find somebody who is a specialist in doing gait analysis, in doing musculoskeletal podiatry, or biomechanics is another term for it. There's lots of different terms that people use for it. And you may not need to just go straight in and have that assessment, because it can be pricey. It's usually the higher end of our services. It's not pricey. When you compare it to how much you spend on your teeth, it's not pricey. How many teeth do we have? My mum was a dentist, I should know. I've forgotten. 28, I think, unless you have wisdom teeth. And I think you can have four of those. So somewhere between 28 and 32, I guess. Anyway, it's a lot of teeth. My point is, it's a lot of teeth, and you invariably need treatment on many of them. I've certainly had my fair share of treatment on them, and I know just how much that costs. You've only got 2 feet, okay? And actually, we don't assess those feet we do assess them individually, but we assess them as a pair. You would never really get an insole to address foot function for just one foot. We would normally make two. There may well be more correction in one insole than the other. And those insoles are called orthotics, and they're called functional orthotics because they address the function of the foot, and they actually change the way the foot is functioning. And that can make all the difference to the pain you might be having within the foot, or to the forces going through your foot and up through the knee and into the hip, and therefore can slow down the process of wear and tear that might otherwise be going on. So my point is, you look after your teeth, you look after your eyes, I would assume you go and get your eyes tested. You, I'm sure, look after your hair as well. But hey, how much do you look after your feet? Have you ever had them checked? And the good news for you is you don't have to rush in and do this assessment. You could go along, see a podiatrist, and just have a mini checkup. First of all, we call it a foot health check in our practice. You go along, and what we do in that assessment is we look at various things. We look at your circulation. We look at your nerve supply. We look around for any skin conditions you might have. So verrucas, infections like athlete's foot, or even melanomas, cancerous growths on your feet. We would check out for those. But also, we would look into your foot structure. It's a huge topic. It's not something that's going to take 5 minutes to do, but we'll spend maybe 5 minutes looking at your foot structure, at the obvious things that can be going wrong. We'll take down any history of any aches and pains you have, either in your feet or higher up in your knees, hips, back. And then we would advise you whether we think it is worthwhile you going forwards and having a gait analysis assessment and musculoskeletal assessment with a view to having functional insoles or orthotics to try and alter the way your foot's working and therefore alter your gait and your posture. If you do want to come and see myself, you can do. My practice is called Circle Podiatry, and we're based in London, and we're also based in Surrey. And you can go to circlepodiatry.co.uk for that.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Think about the last time you had a cancel subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores. Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
If you do want to come and see me and you live afar, then there's a very handy Premier Inn literally across the street from the London practice. Very, very convenient. And we're only a 1 minute, well, maybe 2 minutes. I've got long legs. 2 minutes, 3 minutes walk from Lewisham Station. So very easy to get to. You are listening to Peter Olsen here on the Foot Health Show on UK Health Radio, your global, real, feel-good radio station. That's what we're about. We're trying to help you to feel good. And that doesn't mean ignoring the advice that you hear. Whatever show you're listening to, you can hear good advice on how to be healthy. And here we're talking all about how to be healthy regarding your feet. So we talked a little bit earlier on about the impact the feet can have on parts of the body higher up, your knees, your hips, etc. We're going to look at something a little bit smaller this time, a little bit less significant maybe, but at the same time, something which can worry people quite a lot. And I've actually seen two cases of it in this past week. They are ongoing cases that I'm seeing from time to time amongst some other issues that these people have with their feet. And it presents in a worrying way because it's a lump that comes on your toe, and it is therefore, people think, is this something that's nasty? Is it something that's cancerous? So sometimes people can live with it for some time and not do anything about it, and it's still bugging them in the background. So you may be someone who is sitting there and you're actually thinking, you know what, I've got something like this on my foot right now and I'm worried sick about it, but I daren't go and see anyone. Well, the chances are that it is absolutely nothing to worry about. And it's so much better to be in the know. It's so much better to know whether you have got a problem that is insignificant and can be easily maintained, or whether it is something more significant that needs to be dealt with. And of course, with any lumps and bumps and things like that that we find on our bodies, there's always is that chance that something could be malignant. It could be some sort of cancer. And therefore, it should always be taken seriously. More often than not, it probably isn't going to be anything that serious, but it's worth getting it checked out. You don't want to be the one that got away, the one that actually did have a malignancy and never got it seen to. So we're going to be talking today about a thing called a myxoid cyst. And this is something which occurs on the toes, on the tops of the toes. Normally, I've only ever seen them on the tops of the toes. And it is normally between the last joint in the toe and the beginning of the nail. Although sometimes, very rarely, it can occur under the nail. And I'm going to try and explain to you how they present, what they look like. So if you have got something like this on your foot, you might be able to get a better idea before going to see a podiatrist about it. And some of the things that you could be forgiven for thinking that it is instead of a myxoid cyst. So, for example, you could be forgiven to thinking it might be a verruca. It's a lump. It's like a bit warty in a way, because it's a lump. It doesn't look like a wart to the professional eye. But that's, again, another reason why you should go to a podiatrist. So what does it actually look like? Well, it's usually a raised bump, and although it can start off relatively flat initially, it's not cancerous. I should make a stress about that. If it is a myxoid cyst, it is not cancerous, and you can't catch it. You can't. It's not going to go from one toe to the other. In fact, they don't really know why they come in the first place. There's not any definitive cause known. They usually occur people in their 60s, but they can develop at any age at all. Sometimes they're called a mucus cyst. So where does the name come from? Well, the name cyst actually comes from a Greek word called kystis. I think that's how you pronounce it, K-Y-S-T-I-S. And you might find that there may be a lady or gentleman walking along with their kystis, and they put their hand in and get their money out, because the meaning of it is it's a bag or a pouch. And then the name myxoid or mucoid, they refer to the jelly-like substance which can often be found inside these cysts. And that's basically where the name comes from. The literature says that, or suggests that, women get it more often than men, and people who have osteoarthritis as well are more likely to develop them. Actually, the people I saw this week, there was one man and one woman with this. So that was a 50-50. And I think actually, historically, in my 31 years, I'd say it probably is roughly 50-50, the people that I see. But it's not that common. It's not every day I see it, or even every week I see it. And that's why I decided to share it this week, because having two in one week was a little bit unusual. And I thought, yeah, we haven't talked about that. Let us have a little bit of a conversation about it, so that if you've got it on your toes, you know what it could be. One point I should make out as well is that they're not congenital, okay? It may even be trauma that triggers it, but it's not definitively known that that is the case. But you end up with this little area which is often skin coloured but slightly raised and slightly translucent almost, so you can almost see through that skin. There may be some redness to it as well. And they're not usually that big. You know, they can get the biggest I've seen probably, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 millimetres wide. But they don't come from just suddenly out of thin air from nowhere. They are gradual. They grow gradually. And you may just notice a little blemish there, a little bump there. They're usually not painful. Sometimes they can be. If you bash your toe anyway, it's going to be painful probably. But it might be a little bit more painful if you bash that area. Often the symptoms that draw you to it are actually arthritic pains that you're getting in that joint anyway, and then the actual cyst is just sort of secondary to it and not necessarily causing the pain. And sometimes they can develop, as we mentioned earlier in the description of the name, they can develop a fluid inside them which is like a gel. If you cut it open, which I don't suggest you do, we might well do that, but not you, you get this clear, sticky substance out, which has often got blood in it as well. And you literally can just squeeze gently and it will just come out like this solid or semi-solid gel that comes out. The reason you shouldn't go cutting it open yourself is because the last thing you want is to get infection in it, because that sticky fluid is actually coming from the joint. So it's coming all the way up from the joint. If you get infection in it, you don't want infection to go down into the joint. So we would suggest that if you do suddenly notice it getting bigger quickly or becoming red, swollen, hot, then go and see your podiatrist, because they need to deal with it. And you may even need some antibiotics, in which case go and see your GP. Now, if you go and see someone about it, the diagnosis normally can be made just visually by seeing it And particularly if it is opened and this jelly substance comes out of it. If it has formed under the nail itself, then you might need to have some sort of scan or maybe a biopsy to check what it is. Because remember, probably the most important thing with myxoid cysts is to make sure that it is a myxoid cyst. It's not something more sinister. So you're probably wondering, well, you know, if you've got one on your toe, you suspect it is one. You're probably wondering, well, if it is, you go along to your podiatrist, you go along to your doctor, whoever. What is going to happen? Well, myxoid cysts, they can be cured, but there's no guarantees. They might disappear spontaneously, just go. On the other hand, they might be treated and come back again. And there's various different treatments that can be done. My usual guidelines are that if it's not causing any problems, then usually leave it alone. However, when they get a little bit big, sometimes there's the danger of it popping, of it getting ruptured just by normal everyday life. And then, of course, it's doing that in a non-sterile environment and there's much more chance of getting some infection in it. So I would normally say if it does look a little bit on the big side, if it's got lots of fluid in it, then it probably is worth draining it. So we would put a little cut in it, drain that jelly-like fluid out of it, and then dress it with an antiseptic dressing. It then heals over. Occasionally they disappear, but more often than not, it will refill over the course of the next month or so, and then may need to be drained again. We can do other treatments as well. As podiatrists, we can, as I said, drain it. We can freeze the cyst with liquid nitrogen. It's called cryosurgery, cryotherapy. And that can be quite uncomfortable. And again, it's not a guarantee it won't come back again, but it has a better chance. Also, you can have injections with steroids to try to help reduce the inflammation in that area. There are other treatments as well, but these involve local anaesthetic, so they're more invasive. And those would be done probably by a doctor scraping off the cyst. Or sometimes a podiatric surgeon might decide to actually go down and do bone surgery on the actual joint to try to seal up where this leak of this jelly fluid is coming from the joint. I'd reassure you that probably in my 31 years, I don't think I've ever had to refer anyone on for further treatment for myxoid cysts. It's always been a matter of maintaining them. And quite often, patients are coming in for other things anyway. So they're coming in for their nails or for their calluses and corns to be treated maybe every month, 2 months, 3 months. And that the cyst doesn't cause them any problems at all. And we just drain it from time to time if it gets enlarged. Most people opt for that rather than going and having anything more involved done, which doesn't actually guarantee getting rid of it anyway.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores. Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Contact at circlepodiatry.co.uk. That's contact at circlepodiatry.co.uk. So remember, if you've got a little bump on the area of your toe or finger, for that matter, between the last joint and the beginning of the nail, then it could well be a myxoid cyst. It could be something more sinister. It could be a cancerous growth. It could be a thing called a glomus tumor. There's various things that could be going on there. So it's best to get it checked out by your podiatrist. I hope this has been useful and that many of you will get sorted out if you have them. Now, it may have prompted you to think, well, I haven't got one of those, but I have got. And you're thinking of something else that you know is on your foot. That is perhaps a cause for concern if you know there's something there and you've never got it checked out yet. People are a little bit blasé, a bit laid back about foot problems, especially if they're not really hurting them. But I would encourage you, if you've got something else going on, then go and get it checked out. If you don't want to get it checked out directly, then scribble down an email to us and send it over to, and I'd be more than happy to either reply to you about whatever your problem is. You can always send photos as well. Or we could even have you on the show discussing, anonymously, of course, discussing your foot complaint and hopefully giving you some good tips and advice about your particular problem. Remember, this is your show. I'm doing this for your benefit, not just for my benefit of using up my time and my effort in creating the shows. Hopefully it's been useful today. Hopefully it's triggered some things in your mind about maybe some things you should get checked out. And if you've got no idea, if you're sitting there thinking, well, I haven't got a clue whether I've got any of these things on my feet, I don't know what's going on. And that's probably the majority of you, to be honest, to be fair. Most people, they stand in the shower, they wash the rest of their body, and the water drains down over their feet and they don't really scrub them or pay much attention to them. Ideally, spend some time washing them, spend some time drying them, spend some time having a look at your feet. And that includes in between the toes. Check that there's nothing weird going on. And if there is, go and get seen by a podiatrist. If you're in the London area or the Surrey area, come and see myself at our clinic, which is at circlepodiatry.co.uk. By all means, do have a look at our website. And if you've got any questions at all, do get in touch with me. Thank you so much for joining us this week. I hope you can join us again next week. Take a look at the back catalogue if you've got any pressing things you want to see some information on. You can do that at www.bit.ly/foothealthradio. You're listening to the Foot Health Show here on UK Health Radio, and this is the end of the show for this week. We're going to wrap up. Just a quick recap on what we've talked about for any of you that have just joined us and who want to listen again on demand, which you can do so. The topics we've looked at today, we started off with just a little bit of news, and that was regarding the dangers of traveling, of being a passenger in a car and putting your feet on the dashboard, which probably isn't that common a thing to do. But if you were tempted to do it, then don't, because there's some pretty graphic x-rays that have been shared of some pretty horrible accidents that have taken place because of airbags going off. So it may not even be that bad an accident, but an airbag going off, which is what's causing all the damage, because it bashes that leg back into the person's face. And one of them was mashing up the hips quite badly, the pelvis quite badly. Anyway, I used that to talk a little bit about the effect that the feet can have on other parts of the body, and particularly higher up on the hips and also on the knees. So if you're interested in that, go back, have a quick listen to that and see what you can make of it. Then after a little bit of music by Mr. Broken Wings, we then moved on to a totally different topic, which I shared because I know that there are some of you out there who are sitting there worried about lumps and bumps on your feet. And there was one particular one that I wanted to talk about in case you had that. But really, I was urging you, whatever you have in the way of a lump or bump on your feet, on your toes, go and get them checked out. Go and see a podiatrist. And if you've never had your feet been checked before, definitely go and see a podiatrist. Literally, we can save lives. Blowing our own trumpets. We can help you with all sorts of things. You know, the Doppler readings that we take, listening to your pulses, checking for nerve sensations, but also looking around for these lumps and bumps and checking that nothing looks like it might be malignant. So definitely, if you haven't had your feet checked before, it is worth going and having a visit from time to time to a podiatrist. It's recommended that it gets done annually, some of you probably have never had your feet checked, and you certainly won't be alone in that. You won't be the minority. The majority of people just don't look after their feet. Don't be one of them. So this week, the topic we actually looked at regarding lumps was a thing called a myxoid cyst or mucoid cyst. I'm not going to go through again what it is, but you can rewind. You can go back on demand and listen to the show again, and you'll hear all about those cysts, which you can find usually on the last part of your toes or fingers for that matter. So between the last joint and the nail, that is where they most classically form. Okay, so that is it for the show. I hope you have had a fantastic time. I just want to point you in the direction of the shows that are also available on UK Health Radio. There are 24/7 shows going on. We do have a live breakfast show. We also have other recorded shows such as this one. But I don't want to just suggest that you only listen to my voice. There are many other shows as well. Just go to the UK Health Radio website, look up in the schedule, find his show, click on it, and it will bring up topics of the different shows which you can just click on and listen to at your will. Listen in to the other shows. Have a look at what is on the schedule. It's really easy to use on the website, ukhealthradio.com. Have a look at what's on the schedule. If there's something that tickles your fancy, click on it and you'll get some info about the show, and then you'll have underneath all the shows that are available on demand. So any show that's present or previous is on demand. Hope you have some great listening. Remember, you can tune into it whilst you're driving along. Have it on there through your phone. You can have it on the app, UK Health Radio app, and you can log into it on your computer, of course. Have a fantastic week and keep safe and well. And next week, I'll be back with more foot health tips. Well, that's all we've got time for this week, folks. Thank you so much for joining me here on the Foot Health Show on UK Health Radio, your global, real, feel-good radio station. All that remains is for me to say, have a fantastic week. Keep safe, keep those legs and feet moving, and don't forget to tune in again with your friends next week.
The car from Carvana's here. Well, will you look at that? It's exactly what I ordered. Like, precisely. It would be crazy if there were any catches. But there aren't, right?
Right. Because that's how car buying should be. With Carvana, you get the car you want. Choose delivery or pickup and a week to love it or return it.
Buy your car today with
Carvana.
Delivery or pickup fees may apply. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at Carvana.com.